Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online or... I'm just going to throw my Facebook thing in there. Three, two... Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows... Listen to the shows online at WCBE.org and like us on Facebook.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto. We're at the Gateway Film Center as usual.
And this is Cinema Classics.
It is Cinema Classics. I didn't say that. We skipped that part.
Well, in about a month, we're going to have the Oscars.
We'll have the Oscar nominations, right, in about a month.
Well, I'm thinking this is going to be in January. It's about the second week in January.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, got it. Okay, so, go ahead, scrap that.
All right. So next month, we're going to have the Oscars.
Yeah, I love it.
But let's not think about 2013's Oscars.
Okay.
Let's challenge each other.
All right.
To pick the best... Oh, three, two, one. Let's challenge each other to... Three, two, one. Let's challenge each other to pick our favorite male and female Oscar performances.
Oscar winning performances.
You got it.
Not nominated. Because that limits it severely.
You
okay.
Bet.
So we're going to pick, like, so what? If you're going to a desert island and you can only bring one Oscar winning performance with you, that this is what you bring?
So to speak. Okay. But the difference is, they're not necessarily the best performances of all Oscar winners,
mm-hmm.
but they are our favorite. The one that you and I think of when we think of these performances.
Okay, I got it. I'm done.
Why don't we start in the distaff side, and you can come across with your example.
Okay, well, gee. It's so hard because... All right, I'm just going to jump right in.
Okay.
I'm jumping right in.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Diane Keaton and Annie Hall.
All right, that's a great choice.
It is a great choice.
Why?
Why? That is because that performance still stands alone. It's a kind of a, you know, it was a moment in time, that late 70s, and, you know, she was so influential, and I know really she was kind of playing herself. So
yeah.
It's not a great performance in the way that, say, Meryl Streep and Sophie's Choice is a great performance. However, how charming she is in that movie, how you fall in love with her just as Woody Allen falls in love with her. And when she hits these little notes of vulnerability, like when he comes over to, she calls him because she needs him to kill a spider. And he goes off and he's killing the spider. And when he comes back into the room, she's crying. And he's like, what, you know, what's the matter? What happened? And she kind of like, they've broken up, by the way, at this point for the first time. And she kind of just like punches the bed and she says, geez, I missed you. And she's crying. Like this defeatist, this little moment where she's defeated because she missed him, then she had to call him. That's so beautiful. Like there are things in that performance that I'll never forget.
And it, for me, it's memorable. If only when you think of Annie Hall, you think of her and you think of that performance. There are very few people who have seen it who will ever forget it. And that, to me, was the index of why we're picking our favorite.
Yeah.
And now, here's my favorite.
Yeah, let me hear it.
She's 4'8", stooped over, and has the biggest voice of the century for the littlest person.
Ethel Merman.
She's great choice. That's not it. But Marion Cotillard plays Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose. And when she sings that final No, I Have No Regrets song,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's another singer in all of that century who has such soul. And nor do I think there was another actress who caught both the physical and the emotional core of the character she was imitating, in a sense, imitating and interpreting. There was such a sense of loss and such a sense of gain in Edith Piaf that I thought Marion Cotillard caught And then when I saw her again in Midnight in Paris, I, in a sense, fell in love with this actress again. As you remember, she's drawing the character back into a whole other epoch, trying to get him to come out. And she could do that in that performance. Anyway, so La Vie en Rose, I thought, was a perfect choice for an Oscar that year. I thought it was a memorable. It is my favorite female performance.
Have you seen her in The Dark Knight Rises? Because I think it totally erases these performances.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
No, that was
different. No.
I was just kidding. That's silly.
I know.
But that's the surprises me.
I knew it would. That's why I chose it too.
I didn't
because
see that
I knew
coming.
You would. I knew you would.
But that's a great argument. In fact, you've made me want to see that movie. I have not seen that film. But
well, look, we could have had. We could have had Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah, there's.
We could have had Katharine Hepburn.
You do a whole show.
Four Oscars.
Right. We could do a whole show on who we could have had.
Yes, right.
You know, that's why it was so hard. That's why this is a very hard conversation because it, in a way, forces you to ask what is an Oscar winning performance?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Is it craft? Is it somebody who's going. Is it like the Daniel Day-Lewis style of performance?
Or Christian Bale.
Right, or Christian Bale, where you disappear and you create this totally different human being from yourself?
Yep.
Or is it this masterful reworking and presentation of a variation of your own persona?
Well, certainly for me, I'm always aware that looks and persona are an important part of any actor's performance. And so when you say that, I'm agreeing with you totally. It is a part of who they are.
Yeah.
And their personas, and they put them together, and they massage them, and they give you a memorable character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to start out with my favorite male Oscar performance.
Okay. Ronald Colman.
Another short person. I must like short persons. He's only 5'6".
Okay, Dustin Hoffman.
And he groans and darts his eyes when he talks to you, and his legs are barely straight. They wobble, but he can dance and sing.
Oh, here we go. I know where we're going.
And he can even put a grapefruit in a female face sometime. you would be, I think, interested to know that Clint Eastwood says that James Cagney was the most important actor in influencing him.
Really?
Yeah. And when I was down in Guatemala, and I was kayaking with somebody from the dance company at Dallas, the Dallas Ballet, and asked him who his favorite. He said the favorite Hollywood dancer of all performers is James Cagney.
Yeah.
And you know that he can't even dance that well?
It's his physicality.
He is. Yes. What we were talking about, what Cagney brings, because he doesn't sing well, he doesn't dance well, but I remember somebody commenting about his eyes, that when he's talking to you, his eyes dart all over you, so that he draws you in, wants you to be energetic like him.
Well, you know, the strangest part of this conversation is that you were kayaking in Guatemala with a ballet director.
They were in the other boat.
No, but that's great. So you're saying Yankee Doodle Dandy?
I am. Yes.
Is your James Cagney in Yankee Doodle Dandy, where he played George M. Cohen?
Yes. Yep.
It is a show-stopping performance.
Oh, it is.
And a true entertainer's performance.
And you know, he broke a rib doing that, and he kept going till they finished.
Is that right?
Yes. What a guy.
Yeah, that's terrific. You ready for mine?
I am.
This probably won't come as a surprise. See, I'm kind of torn in a way. I don't know. But, I mean, that's part of what makes this the challenge, right? Let me tell you who I'm torn. I wanted to say Marlon Brando and On the Waterfront.
Yes.
I also wanted to say Jack Nicholson and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow.
And ultimately, I think I have to settle on, because of what it means to me, Robert De Niro's performance in Raging Bull.
Okay. Boy, you couldn't go wrong with any one of those three.
Yeah, they would have all, warranted the title. But De Niro and Raging Bull, one, let's talk about how influential it is. Christian Bale wouldn't go losing weight for roles, or Jared Leto putting on weight for roles, or losing weight without De Niro's physical transformation in Raging Bull. So many actors today put on pounds, lose pounds, make themselves into,
Matthew McConaughey.
Right, Matthew McConaughey. Even if you look at some of the beefcake guys, like Hugh Jackman sculpting his body into this kind of granite perfection. That wouldn't have been possible. I don't think actors would have thought it possible or would have attempted it without De Niro's complete immersion into Jake LaMotta. Yes. Now, what makes that particularly important from an actor's perspective is not only does he just physically transform himself, he goes down this psychological rabbit hole and transforms his psychology. He is this brute animal of a guy, but buried under that layers of self-loathing is this kernel of humanity that keeps shining through. I don't know if shining is the right word, but it's there. It's evident.
Yes.
And you have to go looking for it. That performance makes you work. We showed this film to an audience, and my wife saw it for the first time. And she wondered why I was crying. How can you cry at this? Like, how can you sympathize with this guy? He's just the worst, and it's because I see in it that I see under all of that, this human being who is struggling to get out. It's a beautiful performance. It's masterful.
No, and one of the elements here is that he draws you in and demands that you understand him. I mean, a good actor like that, it's not a simple matter.
Mm-hmm.
You are seeing layers in him.
Yeah.
And that humanity that's so deep down inside is the satisfying way of enjoying that performance.
Right.
Now, I at the top of my list, of course, partly I like to poke you a bit so that you can say, well, that's an odd choice when I chose Jimmy Cagney, because at the top of my list was Brando's Godfather.
Oh, but that's Best Supporting, isn't it? I think that's Best Supporting Actor, isn't it?
We
don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if we distinguished.
I guess we didn't distinguish. I think that's Best Supporting Actor, 1972. Okay. No, you're right. Marlon Brando, Vito Corleone.
So, memorable without question. I mean, changing himself into a mafia don, brilliant. And that element of unforgettable. Just the way with Raging Bull, once you see De Niro in that, it is always De Niro. De Niro becomes a litmus test for other actors because of that performance.
Yeah.
I could have easily chosen that one as well as Brando. But then I tried to modernize, and I also had Michael Douglas in Wall Street, which was more of a showpiece than you're talking about. Less of the depth, more show, like Leonardo in the current Wall Street. Is more of a showpiece.
There's an anecdote about Raging Bull, and just to point up De Niro's commitment to that character. And let's refer to him as a character as opposed to like playing a real life person, which he was obviously. But there's the famous scene where Jake LaMotta is fixing the television and Joe Pesci is sitting on the couch watching this. And, Jake has all these hang-ups and jealousies, and he's paranoid, and he accuses Joey, his brother, of sleeping with his wife Vicky. And of course, Pesci says this is outrageous, and there's the fight, and he storms out. Well, years later in some interviews, somebody was asking Joe Pesci about whether or not he thought his character slept with Vicky LaMotta, and he said, no, it's all in, he's explaining, he's like, it's all in Jake's head. Jake thinks this and that and blah, blah, blah. And the interviewer said, really? Because I interviewed De Niro and he's convinced that Joey did sleep with him.
Well, you have been eloquent about our choices. And all I want to say is that you were so good on your Best Actor today. I can't wait to go out and see Grudge Match.
Now that's just, that's a compliment, I think. That's great. Grudge Match.